And we're doing our theme of building relationships, and he's building on that for us. And I thought I might just pray for you, Daniel. How would that be? Yeah, okay, all right. Why don't we extend our faith out towards Daniel? Lord, we just want to, we thank you for Daniel, God. Lord, would you just fill him up today, Lord, with your spirit. Come deep within him. Lord, thank you for his love for you and his desire to serve you and his desire to bless us too, Lord God. So would you anoint him with the oil of joy as you were, Jesus. And so as he comes to lead us today, may he do it with great joy. And Lord, may we really chime in with what he's doing and what you're doing, Lord, more importantly. May our hearts really be open and be pliable to listen and to learn from you, Holy Spirit, today. So thank you, God. Bless him abundantly in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I think it's good to pray as well, so I'm just going to commit this time to God too. So, Lord, I just thank you for this time, and I just want to commit it to you, commit myself to you, Lord, and I just pray expectantly for what you're going to do. And I pray that everyone's hearts will just posture to receive and hear from you today, Lord. And I pray that I'd be able to help guide that in Jesus' name. Amen. Not to diminish her prayer or anything. It's just, you know, I like to pray too. Building relationships. I'm excited for today. I think today will be good. I think I've had a bit of an interesting week. A butterfly pooped on my hand today, which was kind of interesting. It's a sign, maybe. Well, I was preparing for today, and I went for my walk, and I saw a little butterfly on the ground. It's been a bit wet lately, so it was a bit bogged down, right? It was on the floor. So I was like, all right, I'll help the butterfly out. You know, I'll take it to a nice flower or something, you know, get it out from away from the ants. Picked it up, moved it around, found a nice flower, struggled a little bit because it was a bit heavy, I think. I was like, all right, I'll take you to another flower. Then it kind of freaked out a little bit, pooped in my hand. I'm like, no worries, I'll persist. But then it flew away again, and I was like, all right, I'll leave you be, all the best. Got to go back and prep. Yeah, so anyway, we're talking about loving generously today, and an extension of building upon building relationships. And so we really want to explore what it means to love each other abundantly, generously, what that looks like, and explore a little bit about how we can actually do that as well. And we're going to be going into little discussion groups today. So thankfully, I don't have to have all the answers. You do. And it'll be great. So let's go to the next slide. So I just want to start with this because I think this kind of summarizes why this is actually important. I'll just read from Matthew. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I think this has just helped to, you know, kind of anchor us in why it's actually important to, firstly, you know, love God, love him like holistically and fully, and also why it's important to love our neighbors as well. Can we go to the next slide, please? So this is a bit of an overview, what we're going to talk about. Loving God, brothers and sisters. Loving our neighbours, and then finishing up with how to do it well. Next slide. So, loving God. So what does the Bible talk about that? So these are just a few points that I wanted to bring up quickly because I don't have too much time to speak because you guys are going to have to speak among yourself. So I just want to point out that we're called to love God holistically. You know, we just read in Matthew, but in Mark it even extends to your strength as well. So your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. It's not just one of those, it's all of it. It's loving holistically. Jesus talks in Matthew about how we are first meant to seek first the kingdom of God. That's our priority, that loving God and following God is our priority. It's the main thing. It's the first thing. And the last one is something that is in Luke 21, and it's a quick little thing that Jesus talked about when he was in the temple observing the Pharisees who were giving all this money out of their wealth. And he said, look at this widow who's giving her last few copper coins. She's blessed because she's giving out of her poverty. Paraphrasing, of course, but it's this idea that even in our poverty, in all circumstances, we're called to love God and love him generously and love him fully. Can we go to the next slide? So we're also called to love our brothers and sisters. So the distinction here of brothers and sisters is people in the church, people in the faith, you know, the people sitting to the right and left of you. I love Peter. We talked about Peter a couple months ago. I don't know when. At some point we talked about Peter. It was good. Look it up on YouTube if you haven't already. Like and subscribe. No, I don't know. And Peter talks about loving each other deeply, this generous love. You know, it's not just, you know, like each other, kind of love them. No, love them deeply, love them generously. In Matthew, Jesus asks, you know, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister, you know, when they anger me, when they poop in my hand, you know, how much should I forgive them? How many opportunities should I give them? 7 times? Is that enough? But Jesus replies, no, 77 times 7. I don't think that's like an actual practical number. Maybe it is, but I think it's just this idea of loving relentlessly, even though, you know, you've been wronged, even though things aren't always smooth, even though you can hurt each other, that you forgive and that you persist in that. And in Acts, Paul talks about, it's recorded how the early church kind of acted with one another. And it wasn't just this like, yeah, you know, I'm here for your feelings, you know, I care about your bad day, but it's like, no, you know, I see you're in poverty, let me share with you what I have. You know, they shared with each other. And they were able to bless each other in that, and there wasn't anyone who needed but went without. Can we go to the next one, please? Right, this is a bit of a longer one, but I want to read this before I take you into some discussion groups. So this is Paul recounting the generosity of the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians 8. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnest, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So this is Paul talking to the church in Corinthia? Corinth, thank you. This is why we have church, you know, helping each other. Can we go over to the next slide, please? All right, this is your time. I want you to get into some discussion groups, maybe move around. Diversity is great. Maybe around 4 to 5 people. And, you know, talk about what it means to love God and love your brothers and sisters. What does it mean to do it generously? What does it mean to do it with all that you are? When is it a little bit difficult? You know, when do you struggle in it? And what would it look like if we did love generously? You know, what would happen if we did that? So I'll let you guys maneuver. You'll probably have 5 minutes, then I'll bring it back. So move around, please. Shuffle, shuffle. Come on, guys. Action.
one more minute and then we'll go back. All right, one more minute and then we'll come back as a group. All right, so wrap up what you're talking about and we'll come back. Okay. Lots of good discussions going on. Thanks everyone for kind of getting into it and participating. I know it's a little bit dense, so you might not have been able to get through all of it, but we can try and work our speed up as we go along. So who had a good answer for the first point? Or who's like excited to speak? We've got a few people volunteering other people. Anyone want to volunteer themselves though? Come on. It's good. You know, it's good to give. Good to be generous in giving. Fantastic.
Just on the first one,
I'll give you the mic.
To actually love with your heart and with your soul and with your mind and with your strength, I think is great to work toward intentionally, I think. I don't know if we will make it this side of heaven, but you know, to have all those faculties lined up at once is a pretty amazing feat. And I just think of be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I think it requires God's transforming process where we can really align all these things together all at once. And it's a great thing to be intentional about pursuing. But I think it's not an easy task to put them all together.
Oh, thanks for sharing. Yeah, it's a real intentionality, isn't it? You know, if we're really wanting to be holistic and involved, you know, how do we do all of them? How do we do them together? And it's not easy, you know, because the world isn't always trying to love God in all those ways. How do we love it, you know, not just in our mind and not just in our heart, but also with our strength and practical things? And yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing. Who wants to share next? The next point? Anyone have some difficulties loving? Are we all, you know, generous? Jeremy's pretty good. Yeah. Here we go, Jeremy.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I kind of read it as like two different questions. But there is a bit of crossover. Like, it's hard to love people, and the body is very flawed, like when you're like tired or frustrated or something. So that's it's funny how easy it is to find it difficult, kind of stuff, and sometimes like little things can trip you up. But God specifically can be difficult to love sometimes when you're given a difficult request from him or a difficult message. It can be really hard to honor that and love God in that space, because you kind of at ends with yourself and kind of against yourself a little bit, and against, you know, not against God, but like, you know, struggling to take those steps. So yeah, that's when it's difficult to love God and all brothers and sisters. The one not coming to church. Oh, actually, yeah, that's also what I said. That's also what I said. Yeah. And then also it can be difficult to love God when we don't come to church and you're not walking with other Christians. You kind of slip a little bit when you're not iron sharpening iron and you're not, you know, yeah, walking with other people. So that's a big one. And that can also bring you further away from your spiritual brothers and sisters, you know, when you don't have that community. So that good.
Very good.
All the dot points?
Yeah. Very, very good. No, thanks for sharing, Jeremy. And like, thanks for being real with that, because that's a real thing, you know? It's not always... It can be easy to have all the theory and, you know, what we're meant to do and, you know, all the tips and tricks, but actually doing it in the face of adversity or in the face of challenges or just in the face of being tired can be difficult. No, thanks for sharing. All right, did anyone get on to the last point and would like to share? No, no one got to the last point. Oh, I don't know. I don't think it's ever the teacher's problem. It's always the student. No. I'll take that on. Yes. With love.
We probably would get a different definition from everyone in this place if you were to ask them, what do you mean by love?
Oh.
Experience will come into it, and so to sort of really get down to the heart of it, what is biblical love? I don't know if we all completely see 100% eye to eye, but I think that it's part of it is actually working towards that goal.
Yeah. That's a great point. It's good reason we have discussions as well, so we can get into it. You know, we're not here all just to, you know, say the same thing, right? We're here to actually figure it out. What does it actually mean to us, right? So maybe there'll be a bit more time for you to discuss that later if you have time, but we'll move on to the next one. Oh.
Can I just quickly suggest something?
Sure.
I wonder if, and this is one for us to think about, I wonder if one of the best ways to work out what would loving our brothers and sisters generously look like if we were each able to contribute, what would loving me generously look like? What is it that I would find made me feel, yeah, that group of people or that person really loves me? Just a thought.
No, that's a great point. And like, I think going in with what Sam was saying as well, it's that duality of, you know, it's a great starting point. Like, how do I feel loved? How is it, you know, when Jesus was talking about the greatest commandment, you know, loving others as ourselves, that's a great place to start. And it's also great to realize people are different to us, you know. The things that I might appreciate, the love that I might want, might be a little bit different for someone else as well. But no, thanks everyone for participating. I did make it a little bit dense, so that's on me. Let's go to the next one, please. So now we're going to talk a little bit about what loving our neighbors means, you know. And I always really love, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So it's up on the screen. I'll just read it out quickly for us all. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went on him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." I think this is a great parable, and there's like a lot of depth that you can kind of pull out from here. And I'm not going to go too much into it because I'm going to give you guys more time to kind of discuss things. So if we can go to the next slide. So let's discuss who are our neighbors in life, you know, not just in theory, but who are our neighbors? Who are your neighbors? And, you know, similar to the last one, when is it a little bit difficult to love them? You know, you might, a lot of us go into the city, you see people who are in need, you see the homeless, and myself, and I'm sure some of you probably don't always help everyone, you know, that's tricky. But what does it look like to love our neighbors generously? And what do you think might happen if we actually did that as well? So I'll give you some time to discuss that again, and then we'll come back and discuss it, and then we'll move on to talking about how we can actually do these things as well.
Thank you.
So another minute and then we'll come back. Try and wrap up last sentences and we'll bring it back. Great discussions going on, but I don't want to keep you guys here all night long, so got to keep it going. Who wants to tackle the first question? Who has some interesting things to kind of draw out? Who are our neighbours? What are some observations we've made? Maybe from a group that didn't speak before, like a group over there perhaps, or a group over here perhaps, over there. Oh. All right, well, you're getting dubbed in. Ali, Simone. It's a lot of wisdom. What we got?
I'm just talking as I think. So, we talked about the word neighbours and how God said to love, well, in the Bible it talks about loving your neighbour. It doesn't say you have to love every single person in the world. It's you are called to love the people that are in your sphere of influence, or in, you know, people that you come across or people that you are near. To me, that makes it a bit more manageable. And then I talked about how, you know, Australia has neighbouring countries, or my school has the old folks' home next to it, which is their neighbour. So there's degrees of being a neighbour. And we need to be neighbourly and loving to all our neighbours in some way.
Thank you. That was great. I love how you mentioned it makes it a lot more manageable, doesn't it? Because I think sometimes when we read this, we're like, wow, there's a whole big world. How am I meant to do all that? There's so much need. And I think, you know, remembering that, well, there are people in front of us, people next to us who God puts us there for a reason to love on them. All right, MJ, because you dubbed them in for the first one, you guys are on for the second one. Okay. You know how it works. Good.
Yeah. What goes around comes around. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Right? I'm going to talk about what Wayne said, because I thought that was quite nice, in that actually when we maybe come across people out of our normal sphere, so in his case come across say, a homeless person or a few homeless people whilst he was at work doing his job, the first inclination is to avoid, because it's like, I've got things to do and we're preserving ourselves in a way, you know, all right? So our first natural reaction is to avoid. But then Wayne tells the story of hearing, later on, one of the guys hearing his story in some way, or some sort of interaction that suddenly you heard enough of his story that you realised he was a real person, that he once had a job, that now he's sleeping in a sleeping bag in the alleyway, but he was a real person, he probably had a family. And so in hearing the story, it changed your perspective of him.
It took the bogeyman in a way.
Yeah.
Put the human there, you know, to...
There you go, hey?
To allow the chance to do that was pretty special, you know. Right.
And so that changes you too, in a way, doesn't it? Because you get a new perspective about him, and maybe it applies to others because other people have stories too. So hearing people's stories, we've got to get close enough, don't we, to hear their story. Yeah. So just avoiding strangers or avoiding people who are different to us is not going to work. You've got to get close enough.
But I like the other group's comment about don't have to love everybody, because remember I was talking about what it's difficult to love a hardened criminal who's going to kill you or something like that.
So we'll avoid him. That's okay. That's okay.
Do you have a quick story you want to share?
It's not my story.
Is it quick? Thanks for sharing, guys. That was good as well. Yeah. Do you want to share? Is it quick?
Yeah, it is.
Is it like quick, or you're quick?
It's quick.
Okay, good.
Thank you. And I'm probably butchering the story, but the story of Nikki Cruz and David Wilkerson came to mind. And if someone knows, do correct me, but he's, I don't know if he's just in this moment of being mugged, threatened, Nikki Cruz threatening David Wilkerson, I'm going to cut you into pieces. Might have been somebody else, but I'm going to cut you into pieces. And he says, you could cut me into pieces and every single one of them would still love you. And David Wilkerson, that led to today what we know as Teen Challenge. So just that, I mean, every single one of these questions, I just keep getting, if we don't feel like it, that's when it's the hardest. But if we feel like it, then how much easier is it? So the circumstances, we can be in the deepest of challenges, but if for some reason in our heart we feel like giving in that moment, then it suddenly becomes really possible. And so I think for me, that disposition, do I want to give? Do I want to love? That's what I'm always asking God for, and whether it's neighbors or brothers and sisters.
No, it was good. That was good.
You got to be really quick. I'll give you like 20 seconds.
1 minute.
So the highlight of that story was Nikki Cruz was a gangster that really, really nasty. So the story is right. So it was Nikki Cruz confronting David Wilkerson, and that was the response. What I want to bring that out was David Wilkerson, that was not his neighborhood, but God called him to that neighborhood and to love those young gangsters. That's why his love was, I'm willing to sacrifice for you guys, man. This is where my neighborhood is right now. And it was transforming the gangsters, because few of the gangsters did get together and say, let's not fight anymore.
All right. It was a little longer than 20 seconds, but it was good. It was good. So you get a pass. So what does it actually look like to love generously? Who got to the last question this time? Someone? Anyone? Yes? No? No one?
I think that story says that generously. And that's
what loving generously.
Yeah, I'll love you even if you don't like
me. Even if you're going to cut me up, yeah. I'm still going to love you.
Like transformation.
That's transformation. That is pretty real. Like, you know, probably don't imagine cutting someone up, but, you know, imagine, you know, the person that you really dislike or you're being rude to or mean to turns around and says, well, I love you, you know, I have grace for you. That's a big thing, I think. Even if a butterfly poops in your hand, still persisting. Oh, all right. Well, all right, you guys got to decide amongst yourselves. No, you both go, it's all right.
Well, I just want to give two quick examples because I can add to the Nikki Cruz story as well, because the way that kind of turned around for Nikki Cruz was that David Wilkerson was preaching in the street and Nikki Cruz came up and had a go at him and said, oh, you know, I haven't even got shoes. And so David Wilkerson said, okay, well, I'll give you my shoes. And he gave him his shoes and then had to walk in his socks through, you know, there's a city of New York home, and that kind of stuck with Nikki Cruz. A much more sedate example that we talked about was, I remember being at Vineyard National a few years ago and with Ruth, and the international speaker was there, and we happened to catch him one morning and say, hey, would you be happy to pray for Ruth? And he turned to us. And I just remember this feeling where it was like nobody else existed at that point. He was just there for us, and we felt so seen and loved. And I feel like that's what Jesus does, you know, when he sees the one out of the crowd.
So I was going to touch on loving generously as well. So, like, for me, I have a personal story. I'm going to keep it short. I had a friend who was telling me about how she was, like, ready to off herself. She was really done with the world and her life and everything, but she didn't want her parents to know. But she was telling me everything, and it was to the point where it was, like, I knew, like, literally any day she was going to be gone. Like, it was really tough for me as well. But so I was conflicted because she was, like, if you tell my parents, I'm going to stop being friends with you and all these things, and basically, like, threatening me. It was, like, really weird. But I think I'm telling this story because it's kind of, like, a similar story, but it's, like, more, I think, easier. Like, it's, I guess, happens more often, I guess, I said, I'm going to tell your parents anyways, and I'm okay that you're not gonna, it's okay that you can stop being friends with me, but I'm gonna still love you. So it's the same thing, but it's, like, more, I think, easier for us to relate. And of course she did stay friends with me afterwards. She's still alive, and she's and it's really great. But yeah, I just wanted to share that really quickly.
Thank you guys. That's really good. You know, I think touching on that, like, loving when it comes at a cost to you as well is, like, really powerful. And I think when people see that, like, oh, he's just giving me his shoes, you know. Walking in New York is not fun barefoot, I would assume, quite strongly. And, you know, being able to love despite the threats and despite the cost, it's powerful, but it's also hard, or it can be hard. Let me go to the next slide. So we've talked about what it looks like, and some of us have touched on a little bit of how to do it, but I want to kind of challenge us a little bit in not just thinking about, yeah, it's, you know, it's nice to think about loving people, it's nice to think about, you know, forgiving each other, it's nice to think about, you know, giving my shoes to the, you know, the person threatening me, but, you know, how do we actually do this? And I think this is going to be quite an interesting discussion, hopefully, and, you know, hopefully some of you might not agree straight away, right? And hopefully you can actually dig into it a little bit. So I put up a few verses to kind of start stirring the pot a little bit. You know, these ones are from Paul's experience. So in Acts 20, 34, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 18, 3-4, And because he was a tent maker, so this is talking about Paul, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogues, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. I think this is really interesting. You might be a little bit like, why is Daniel bringing this up? Why is it important that why is it important that Paul worked as a tent maker? And I think this verse and the verse just before kind of points out that despite Paul being an apostle, despite him doing great works for the kingdom, he believed that it was good for him to support himself through it. And I find it really interesting in Acts 18, where it says on the Sabbath he was in the synagogues, you know, sharing the gospel, which makes me think during the rest of the week he was working. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words a little bit. And I think that's really interesting for us to think about, because sometimes when we think about, you know, doing the good works in the kingdom, we think, okay, I got to give up all my money or give up my job and just go out and preach the gospel. And for some of you, maybe that is what God's calling you to do. But I find it really interesting that Paul, who's, you know, the creator, one of the creators of the early church, one of the lead apostles, did it this way. And I think it's really good to ponder and discuss. In 2 Corinthians 8:13, so this is a bit further from one of the verses we talked about earlier, it writes, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. And I think that's great to point out, because in Corinthians it talks about how the Macedonians gave despite that they were impoverished. And I think you can read that and think, okay, maybe I need to give so that I'm also impoverished. But I think what Paul is writing here is kind of saying, well, you know, we're not saying that, I don't think he's saying you need to give until you're impoverished. He's just saying, well, out of your plenty, you supply to those that are others. We're not telling you that you need to become, you know, impoverished, but just looking for equality in the creation of the church. Things to think about, things to discuss in your groups. And the next slide, please. Great. And this is continuing on in 2 Corinthians 9. I think this is kind of a great verse to kind of help center the discussions again as well. It writes, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only for supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I think it's a really rich passage, and great things that you can probably take out and discuss as we go to the next slide, please. So this is kind of the last discussion. So you might want to go back and discuss some other things as well. But we're really talking about, how do we actually love generously? You know, how is our heart posturing? Why do we actually want to do this in the first place? When we talked about, you know, Peter was talking about loving others, it also talks about stewarding faithfully God's grace. What does it look like to be a good steward of what God gives you and to generously give that to others? And last question is kind of the bigger question is, like, how do we actually do it? And what would actually happen if our love is abundant, you know? We talk about, you know, the Good Samaritan who took care of the Samaritan, took him to an inn, paid two denarii, which is apparently equivalent to 2 days' salary, and then also said, you know, whatever's, you know, else is spent, I'll pay for that too. How do we actually do that? How do we be in a position where we can do that for people? So I'd love you to get into groups and discuss some of the verses, discuss what it means to actually do it. Do the hard yards. Good. Yeah. Now you got to talk, though. You know. Come on. Thank you. Probably another minute or so, and then we'll come back. All right, so just wrap up what you're saying and then we'll bring it back. Hopefully you guys all had a good discussion. Which group would like to answer the first point? Who thinks they have a good answer? Or just an okay answer? Or a bad answer? I don't know. Any answer? Fantastic.
I'll let talk. What should our heart posture be as we give... Marie just quoted scripture. I don't know if that's cheating or doing the right thing, but God loves a cheerful giver. That we should be, and that doesn't just mean a cheerful giver of money, a cheerful giver of time. And then I think it was Nikki pointed out that the Samaritan, he got him to the inn, he gave some money, but... The main thing was he was on a journey. He was going somewhere. He was probably in a hurry. But unlike the other people who hurried by on the other side, he stopped and he gave his time and he took a risk that it might have taken a lot of time and he might have been late and so on. And there was quite a bit of conversation about just being available. And Nikki used the lovely word interruptible. We're all busy. We've got things to do. But if we can, Jesus was interruptible. And I think that's probably that heart of yeah, I've got things to do, but God's able to interrupt me. People who have a need are able to interrupt me. None of them were my ideas, by the way, but I just sounded good and quote them.
Good job. No, that's very good. Thanks for sharing, guys. Yeah, no, that's a great point that you brought up as well. It's not just about money or like what physical things we have. That is a great way that we can love on others and practically love them, but also being there with our time and availability and that heart posture of being cheerful. You know, that's kind of what Ethan was touching on earlier as well, where it just makes it a lot easier as well, and it makes it a lot more fulfilling, and just, I think it lands a lot more as well when you love someone and you actually want to do it as well. Next one, stewardship. Who has some insights? All right. It's good. You usually have some good stuff.
Thanks for the encouragement.
No, it's good.
I just remember, I don't even know what 1 Peter 4 says, so I'm going to the other verse that you brought up with the cheerful giver. But I love the flow of it where it emphasized in the giving, God is always supplying, and that leads to people giving thanks to God. And so the giver always being the one who gets the glory, and we're actually never being the giver because it's always God through us. And so that being a faithful steward in moments, how am I bringing about a moment for God to be magnified, for God to be seen as great? We were talking about moments where we've actually got less money in our bank account. We've got less of this, yes, less of that, yet there's still this burden on our heart to give. And in that moment when people see it, they're like, this doesn't make sense. How and why are you giving? It's because my God will supply. So I think that's what it means for it to be faithful, for God to get the glory.
That was very good. Good encouragement. No, thanks, Ethan. No, it's. I'm not surprised. No, Ethan's great. It's great to hear from you. But yeah, I love what you're touching on with that abundance of giving from God that leads to more abundance and that kind of cycle. And I think, you know, touching on that great point where it's like, yeah, you get to give generously, but it's really through God's grace and God's ability that you're giving as well. That's great. All right, who wants to wrap us up with the last bit? How do you actually do it? Or what would it look like if you were loving abundantly? You know, when you take care of the homeless, what does it look like to love them abundantly? How do you do it? What happens when you do that? What's the transformation that happens when our love just isn't there, but it's abundant and it's reflecting God's love? Simon? That was a yawn. I'm sorry to bore you. No. Did anyone get on this? Jeff? Oh, wonderful. If I can get to the back. Oh, my gosh. Wonderful. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, so it's too loud. last month, actually, my housemate, her car front bumper was broken, and she was not able to drive that. So God has given me this knowledge of fixing cars. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just help her, because after work, it was like too tired for me. But still, I was like, I told her that I can help you. It's okay. Then she's like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Then I didn't think about that after that. So last week, my car was broken down. And she was like, you can have my car. You can use my car. Enjoy. I was like, okay, thank God. Yeah, this is where, like, you know, I felt like when you love, when you give everything, like, you know, what God has given you, and you love someone like that, it actually comes back to you. Like, you know, God actually blesses you in other ways. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Jeff. It sounds like almost when you're loving as well, it's almost like it's contagious as well, right? When you love abundantly, you know, that enables others to love abundantly, which, you know, it's just abundance. It's great. All right. Oh.
Daniel, I don't think any of us could imagine what it'd been like as you walking around the block, finding this beautiful little butterfly. I would have loved to have been videoed on the ground, picking it up, and saving it and placing it on a flower, then another one. I think that's God loves us to want to love all things, creatures great and small.
Oh, thank you. I'll take that encouragement. Thank you, Zanu. Does anyone else have some last points? Because I've been talking for a long... Well, you guys have been talking for a long time. Any last points before we wind it up? Three, two... Sold.
Yeah, I was just thinking as well, like, about the whole... We love because God loved us first. We don't love because we're getting something out of it.
That is good. I agree with Jeremy. That was great. Thank you, Nikki. Can we go to the last slide, please? I just want to end with this because I think maybe it feels a bit of a tangent, but I think it kind of summarizes well into what Nikki was saying as well, that, you know, Jesus told us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but he came that they may that we may have life and have it abundantly. Yes, sorry, that's a good point. It's John 10:10, not John 1:10. Oh, I was in a good flow as well. No, so as Nikki was saying, we don't love because, you know, we're so cool and we have it all. We love because we were loved first. And we're able to give generously and love abundantly because it's from God. And when we do that, it reflects God's love and reflects his kingdom in the lives of others. And that's where we're going to leave it. Thanks, everyone, for participating and discussing. Awesome. And hopefully you're encouraged to love generously and love others. Yeah, great. I'll hand it back to worship. Or, yes, worship. Yeah.
So stay in where you are. You don't have to rearrange. And we're going to have communion. Are you going to have communion?